Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program Number 455, Compendium on the Muslim Brotherhood, being recorded on April 11th of the year 2004. Remember, there'll be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record Program Number 455 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website within a week or so of the airing of this show. Listeners who only listen on the radio should get in the habit of checking out the descriptions. Not only does it permit much more leisurely and detailed examination of the information, but also I frequently include documentation in the descriptions that I did not have time to include in the broadcast, due obviously to the limits of the one-hour time format. So please check out the For the Record descriptions, often, by the way, with links to the key articles. The For the Record descriptions are in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire List is one word, SPITFIRELIST.com. Note that sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older shows are available for download only at a longer URL. Link to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, again, at www.spitfirelist.com. Note that there's now a search function that listeners can use in order to search the annotated For the Record descriptions. Also be aware that the vitally important book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile is available for download for free on the Spitfire website. There's also a professional biography of Paul Manning for people who wonder who he was and what his credentials are. Note that as I'm speaking on April 11th of 2004, part of the Paul Manning text is on HTML. Some of it is still on Adobe PDF. It is in the process of being transferred in order to minimize bandwidth, okay? Spitfire, by the way, stocks all of the various programs and lectures that I've done over the years. You can reach them by regular mail at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Their email address is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com, and I do not get any money from the arrangement with Spitfire. Now, turning once again to the Muslim Brotherhood, the foundational organization for not only Al-Qaeda and Hamas, but also one of the most important Islamist organizations worldwide. In addition to its fascist history and fascist affiliations, the Muslim Brotherhood, again, as I just said, appears to be one of the parent organization of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is one of its more recent outcroppings. Hamas is yet another, and beyond that, the Muslim Brotherhood ideology has appeared to contribute significantly to the growth of jihadist mentality in the Muslim world. This is of note because of the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood has a tremendous amount of influence in the large Muslim communities around the world. We're going to take a look at the beginning of this broadcast at the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood and related elements in the Turkish political landscape, or on the Turkish political landscape. In the conclusion of Side 1, we took a look at Tariq Ramadan, the son of Saeed Ramadan, and despite his moderate pretensions, he appears to have connections to elements that are associated with terrorism. At least that allegation was made by a number of different intelligence observers, including Jean-Charles Brizard, the famous French intelligence-connected researcher. We're going to turn once again to the subject of the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to take a look at Muslim Brotherhood influence in Muslim communities around the world, including France. First of all, we're going to turn to the connections of the Muslim Brotherhood and people connected with the Al-Taqwa milieu to the Islamic-influenced Welfare Party. And that it was founded by Nekmetin Erbakan. It, in turn, is an influence on the current Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan and his AK party, although, as is the case with many Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated elements, Erdogan has taken a much more moderate approach to Islamism. This article is from Turkey Offers Support for Controversial Islamic Group. It's from Deutsche Welle of April 23rd of 2003. That group is the Milli Görüş, Germany's largest Islamic organization, and it's received support from the Turkish government. Skipping down, of Erdogan, Erbakan, their affiliation with the Muslim Brotherhood, and, as we will see in a minute, their connections with the fascist al-Takwa milieu, we read, "Some observers say the attempt to reform its public image could be at least partly linked to the rise of Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan and his AK party. Coming to power in a landslide victory last year, Erdogan styles his party as a modern conservative group based on Muslim values. He has distanced himself from former mentor Nekmatin Erbakan, who founded the Islamic-influenced Welfare Party. Erbakan's nephew, Mehmet Sabri Erbakan, was IGMG chairman until he left office after allegedly having an extramarital affair." So note that at least in some of the reforms that Muslim Brotherhood-related elements have engaged in, image appears to be at least partly in consideration. Now, returning once again to the subject of Nekmetin Erbakan, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Al-Takwa Network, we're going to review some information presented in For the Record 408. Once again, this information coming from Dollars for Terror by Richard LaBeviere, of connections between Ahmed Huber, the Swiss neo-Nazi and a director of Al-Takwa, and Nekmetin Erbakan, and French fascist Jean-Marie Le Pen of the National Front, we read, "A second photograph, in which Hitler is talking with Himmler, hangs next to those of Nekmetin Erbakan and Jean-Marie Le Pen, leader of the Fascist National Front. Erbakan, head of the Turkish Islamist Party, Refah, turned to Ahmed Huber for an introduction to the chief of the French Party of the Far Right. Exiting from the meeting, which took place in September of 1995, Huber's two friends supposedly stated that they, quote, share the same view of the world, unquote, and expressed, quote, their common desire to work together to remove the last racist obstacles that still prevent the union of the Islamist movement with the national right of Europe." And in our next program, we're going to take a look at indications that the Islamist movement and various fascist movements, including those in the United States, have formed at least some operational links. More from Dollars for Terror, and this talks about some of the links of Ahmed Huber and his milieu to Shiite elements currently in power in the Islamic government of Iran. Note that that is Shia as opposed to Sunni, which is the main Islamic affiliation of the Muslim Brotherhood. Later on in the program, we're going to take a look at indications that the Muslim Brotherhood does have some operating links with Shiite elements, and this is one of the things to be contemplated in connection with the situation in Iraq. More about Ahmed Huber. Lastly, above his desk is displayed a poster of the Imam Khomeini. "The meeting, quote, changed my life," Huber says with stars in his eyes. Parenthetically, that's his meeting with Khomeini. "For years after the Federal Palace in Bern, Ahmed Huber published a European press review for the Iranian leaders, then for the Turkish Refah. Since the former lacked financial means, Huber chose to put his efforts to the service of the latter. An outpost of the Turkish Muslim Brothers, Refah thus became Huber's principal employer, and it was through the intermediary of the Turkish Islamist Party that this former parliamentary correspondent became a shareholder in the bank Al-Takwa." So note the role of the Turkish Muslim Brotherhood in Huber's ascension to becoming a shareholder in the bank Al-Takwa. And that is something to be noted here. Again, note that Huber was very much involved with Ayatollah Khomeini. Later on in the program, we're going to take a look at some of the indications that it was in Iran that Ahmed Huber first met Youssef Nada of the Bank al-Takwa. What we're going to look at next is the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood and that of Tariq Ramadan with the UOIF, the largest Islamic political party in France. Now, again, bear in mind what we took a look at in connection with the allegations of Jean-Charles Brizard vis-à-vis the supposedly moderate Tariq Ramadan, and bear in mind that it is the Muslim Brotherhood that is heavily involved with the UOIF, the largest Islamist party in France. This article is from French Threaten Expulsions After Islam Radical Victory. It's by Elaine Cholino of the New York Times of April 16th of 2003. Speaking of the UOIF, the group that made a surprisingly strong showing in the election is the Union of Islamic Organizations in France. It preaches a strict, conservative interpretation of Islam, derives much of its support from the poor suburbs of Paris and other major cities, and is said to derive its inspiration from the banned fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood, which originated in Egypt. It won 14 of 41 seats in the governing administrative council. The organization has come under fire from those who claim it has close links with the Muslim Brotherhood, which calls for Islamic rule via Islamic law, personal purification and political action, and cannot be officially recognized by a secular country like France. Now, turning once again to Dollars for Terror of links between the UOIF and the bank Al-Taqwa, Al-Taqwa, effected several fund transfers to the profit of a chief of this organization, the Lebanese Faisal Moulawi, former leader of the Union of Islamic Organizations of France. By the way, profit here is P-R-O-F-I-T. I should clarify that. Beginning again. Al-Taqwa, effected several fund transfers for the profit of a chief of this organization, the Lebanese Faisal Moulawi, former leader of the Union of Islamic Organizations of France, or UOIF, the Muslim Brothers organization in France. The transfers intended for Moulawi were executed by the intermediary of an account opened through the agency of Paribas in Lugano. And once again, turning to Tariq Ramadan, and also reviewing from Dollars for Terror of the relocation of Saeed Ramadan to Geneva after first settling in Munich after his exodus from Egypt in order to basically help to revive some of the connections between the Brotherhood and Nazi Germany. Let us mention only the incident of the treasure of the FLN, at the center of which the banker François Genoux may be found. Ramadan and the Muslim Brothers thought they could play a part in the Algerian process as they had done in Palestine in 1947. Saeed Ramadan thus left Munich to settle in the city of Calvin. And so, with the financial support of King Faisal of Saudi Arabia, Saeed Ramadan established the fraternity's political outpost for Europe in Geneva. And of the connection between his son, that is Saeed Ramadan's son, Tariq Ramadan, and the UOIF, like his brother, Mr. Ramadan Tariq, Mr. Ramadan Hani, is thus an important figure in the European Islamist movement and entertains close relations with the Union of Islamist Organizations of France, or UOIF. This association has participated in demonstrations in favor of wearing the Islamic headscarf, and its sympathies extend to the Palestinian movement, Hamas. From an article, Palestinian Issue Adds Tension to Rallies, by Fawn Vrazo of the San Jose Mercury News, we are now going to read about Muslim Brotherhood influence within the anti-Iraqi war movement in Britain. And this should not be interpreted as an endorsement for the Iraqi misadventure. But it's worth noting, and this is very important, that extremist organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood have formed some significant inroads into organizations around the world, including elements of the peace movement. The Muslim Association of Britain makes a similar point. "We don't shy away from it," said Representative Anas Al-Takridi. "Even Mr. Bush and Mr. Blair have highlighted it," unquote. The Muslim Association has been criticized not only because of its emphasis on the Palestinian issue, but also because of its association with the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamist group banned in Egypt. The Egyptian government has accused the Brotherhood of using rallies over the Middle East and Iraq to foment a revolt. The Muslim Association's website prominently mentions the Brotherhood's president, Muhammad Mahoun al-Hubadayabi, who has praised suicide bombers in Israel, and the anti-Jewish group Hamas, the Islamic Resistance Movement. "Act now to stop war and end racism," the coalition that orchestrated many of the region's largest anti-war protests, is staunchly pro-Palestinian. "Answer hopes to oppose war with Iraq while building support for the Palestinian cause. Large Palestinian flags are common at its rallies. So again, I think there is some research to be done in connection with the Muslim Brotherhood's inroads into the peace movement in the United States. The international answer elements in the United Kingdom have fairly overt connections with the fascist Muslim Brotherhood. I think research in the United States needs to be done into possible links between ANSWR and the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. It's also altogether possible that many people involved with the peace movement here would have no knowledge whatsoever of the Muslim Brotherhood or of some of the implications of involving the Muslim Brotherhood with a movement ostensibly dedicated to peace. And so that's one of the reasons I'm presenting this. Now, we're going to turn next to some of the links between the Muslim Brotherhood and power political elements here in the United States. Now, as I mentioned in Side 1, the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood is a theocratic Islamic organization opposed to secular government helps to affect working relationships between the Muslim Brotherhood and elements of U.S. intelligence, including elements of CIA during the Cold War. The Muslim Brotherhood was seen as being very useful in helping to suppress secular leftist elements in the Muslim world, the communists in particular. I would also note that that same rationalization led to U.S. support for the Ba'ath Party in Iraq, and the U.S. was heavily involved with the ascension of the Ba'ath Party in the first place. I would also note that one of the outgrowths of the relationship between some elements of CIA and the Muslim Brotherhood was the heavy utilization of the Muslim Brotherhood for recruiting the anti-Soviet Afghan Mujahideen fighters in the 1980s and 1990s, and it was that conflict that helped to spawn Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. What we're going to look at next is an article from the Washington Post of October 7th of 2002. We took a look at this article in For the Record 382. The article is called U.S. Trails Virginia Money and Ties. It's by Douglas Farah and John Mintz of the Washington Post. And we're going to take a look at connections between prominent Saudi elements and the Muslim Brotherhood, and in turn, between those prominent Saudi elements and the Muslim Brotherhood and the SAR network. The SAR network was at the very core of the organizations that were targeted by the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids. The milieu targeted in those raids heavily overlaps the Republican Party and the Islamic Institute of Grover Norquist and Talat Atman. Karl Rove, heavily involved with the establishment of the Islamic Institute connection to the GOP. And note again that although they're not coterminous, the milieu of the Muslim Brotherhood, its financial conduits in the United States, powerful members of the Saudi power elite, and the bank Al-Taqwa is one of the most important of the relationships discussed here. Of the Muslim Brotherhood, its links to the SAR network and the bank Al-Taqwa, and in turn, its connections to the Republican Party Islamic milieu that we've looked at in numerous broadcasts, including last week in For the Record 454, we read, again from the Washington Post of October 7th of 2002, speaking of the Operation Green Quest raids, another focus of the probe is the SAR leader's links to the Muslim Brotherhood, a 74-year-old group which is under investigation by European and Middle Eastern governments for its alleged support of radical Islamic and terrorist groups. For decades, the Brotherhood has been a wellspring of radical Islamic activity. Hamas, the militant Palestinian group, is an offshoot of it. European officials are particularly interested in the Brotherhood's ties to leading neo-Nazis, including the Swiss Holocaust denier Ahmed Huber. A number of central figures in the SAR network, including Raji, were for decades involved in the Brotherhood where they befriended Youssef Nada, said representatives and friends of the SAR officials. The one-time radicalism of SAR network members has mellowed since they moved to the United States, SAR associates said. Nada, 73, a native of Egypt, has been one of the Brotherhood's leading figures for years, and European officials say his network of banks and companies, including Bank Al-Taqwa and Akita Bank, are intimately tied to the Brotherhood. European officials say the two banks handled tens of millions of dollars for the Brotherhood over the years. A wealthy construction magnate, Nada controls firms across Europe and the Arab world. Nasreddin, of Ethiopian descent, operates a business empire intertwined with Nada's out of Milan. Founded in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood has over the decades helped stir a revival in Islamic pride and militant opposition to secular Arab regimes. Governments in Egypt, Syria, and Iraq have harshly cracked down on the group since the 1950s. The organization, viewed as heroic in much of the Arab world, has recently moderated some of its radical stances. Investigators say they have also uncovered numerous ties between SAR entities and the bank Al-Taqwa. Samir Salah, a founder of the Safa Trust, SAR's successor, and an officer of other SAR companies, helped establish Bank Al-Taqwa in the Bahamas in the mid-1980s, according to a Treasury document. In a letter to the Washington Post, Salah said he had no role with the bank. Ibrahim Hasaballah, another officer of some SAR-related companies, also helped set up Bank Al-Taqwa in the Bahamas, according to the document. Hasaballah did not respond to numerous requests for comment, unquote. Skipping down. Terrorism specialists say the significance of the SAR network is that it could offer wealthy Persian Gulf financiers a circuitous route for money they don't want traced. Quote, a rich Saudi who wants to fund radical ideas or terrorists like Hamas and Al-Qaeda knows he can't send the money directly, so he filters it through companies and charities, often in the U.S. or Europe, said Rita Katz, a terrorism expert at the private Site Institute in Washington. Parenthetically, Rita Katz was the anonymous, quoted in the book Terrorist Hunter that we've looked at in several recent broadcasts, including 454. Continuing, the SAR organizations are run by approximately 15 Middle Eastern and Pakistani men, a number of whom live in two-story homes on adjoining lots in Herndon, Virginia, that were developed by one of their affiliated firms in 1987. SAR representatives say most were born into devout Muslim families, and some fell under the sway of the Muslim Brotherhood. In the 1960s and 1970s, funded largely by Persian Gulf and particularly Saudi money, the men who would later form the SAR network fled their homelands amid crackdowns on the Brotherhood. Among the outgrowths of the Afghan Mujahideen support effort was the fact that Youssef Nada and Ali Galeb Himat, two of the Al-Taqwa principals, Al-Taqwa again the financial spine of the Muslim Brotherhood, had six children between them in the United States between 1979 and 1984. Turning now to an article that we looked at in For the Record 442, Terror Fund Trail Leads to Alpine Kingdom by Mark Perlman. This was published in Forward Magazine of October 17th of 2003. And skipping down, we read, there are also indications that both Nada and Himat, the Al-Taqwa principals who today live in an Italian enclave bordering Switzerland and have acquired Italian citizenship, spent time in the United States in the late 1970s and early 1980s. According to a translated copy of a 1996 Italian intelligence report, they each had three children born in the United States, five of them born in Silver Spring, Maryland between 1979 and 1984. And another of the outgrowths of the Muslim Brotherhood has been the fact that the Brotherhood has been helping to finance Muslim congregations in the United States. Note that because of the Saudi affiliation, the Brotherhood has a lot of money available to it. Most Muslim congregations are quite poor, which has given them a tremendous opening in the U.S. Turning now to the subject of financing of Muslim congregations in the United States. This is from A Student Journeys into a Secret Circle of Extremism by Paul M. Barrett. One afternoon, Mustafa Saeed, a journey at the University of Tennessee, was summoned by a friend to a nearly empty campus cafeteria. The two settled themselves in a quiet corner, and Mr. Saeed's friend invited him to join the Muslim Brotherhood. Everything I had learned pointed to the Muslim Brotherhood being an awesome thing, the elite movement, says Mr. Saeed of his initiation in 1994. I can't tell you the feeling that I felt. Awesome power. That from A Student Journeys into a Secret Circle of Extremism by Paul Barrett of the Wall Street Journal, 12/23/2003. On that day in Knoxville, Mr. Saeed entered a secretive community that was slowly building a roster of young men committed to spreading fundamentalist Islam in the U.S. A movement launched 75 years ago in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood has inspired terrorist acts as well as social reform throughout the Middle East and has chapters in some European nations. Until recently, law enforcement officials saw little evidence that the organization was active in the U.S. Like many activist Muslim students, Mr. Saeed belonged to an Islamic study group. His often focused on the writings of Yusef al-Qaradawi, an Egyptian cleric based in Qatar who is a leading figure in the Muslim Brotherhood movement. He also, by the way, is associated with the Bank al-Taqwa as well. And again, there's a discussion of Sheikh Qaradawi and Mr. Saeed's attendance at a function at which he spoke. Skipping down, in December of 1995, Mr. Saeed attended another Muslim Arab Youth Association conference at a hotel in Toledo. Sheikh Qaradawi, the cleric affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, gave a speech later transcribed and translated by the Investigative Project, a terrorism research group based in Washington. Islam will overcome all the religions and dominate the world, the Sheikh told his audience of several hundred people. And there are also links between al-Taqwa and the Brotherhood and the establishment of a mosque in Boston. From radical Islam, outspoken cleric and jailed activist tied to New Hub Mosque, this from the Boston Herald of October 28th of 03, we read, the Islamic organization's poised to build the largest mosque in the Northeast on a site in Roxbury and has long-standing ties to an Egyptian cleric who praises suicide bombings and a Muslim activist indicted last week in a terrorism financing probe. The Islamic Society of Boston, which has city approval to build a sprawling $22 million Islamic cultural center and mosque on Malcolm X Boulevard, has had a long association with Dr. Yusef Abdullah al-Qaradawi, whose vocal support of the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas prompted the State Department to bar him from entering the U.S. 4 years ago. And in addition to financing Muslim congregations, Saeed Ramadan also spent a lot of time in the United States in the 1970s, and there he recruited an African-American Muslim named David Belfield to act as an assassin on behalf of Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran. We're going to turn now to the book report on Al-Taqwa, Islamists, and the Far Right by Kevin Coogan. We looked at this in For the Record 381. Speaking of Ahmed Huber and the fact that he met Yusef Nada in Iran, equally interesting is that Huber and Nada met in Iran. In the late 1970s, it has been reported that the Saudis were said to have decided to stop backing Ramadan's Swiss Center, and in 1978 they opened their own group, L'Association Culturelle Islamique de Genève, because the Saudi monarchy disagreed with Ramadan's embrace of the Iranian Revolution. It should be recalled that Huber also became one of the Iranian Revolution's leading Western supporters in the 1970s. Incredibly, in the middle of the 1970s, Saeed Ramadan actually recruited an American named David Theodore Belfield, who later changed his name to Dawood Salahuddin. Salahuddin was a black American who became radicalized and adopted a mixture of third-worldist radicalism and Muslim beliefs. He later served as an assassin for the Iranian government, and on July 21, 1980, Salahuddin murdered Ali Akbar Tabatabai, a former press attaché at the Iranian embassy under the Shah who was living in Bethesda, Maryland, where he helped direct a pro-Shah exile group, the Iran Freedom Foundation. After the assassination, Salahuddin first fled to Geneva and then to Iran. Salahuddin first encountered anti-Shah and pro-Khomeini Iranian exiles in Washington. However, his life really began to change in May of 1975 when he met Saeed Ramadan, who was the guest speaker at the Islamic Center, a large mosque on Massachusetts Avenue. And again, in the description for this program, in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com, there will be an expanded presentation of these various articles and excerpts with annotations, so please take advantage of those descriptions. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 455, Compendium on the Muslim Brotherhood, being recorded on April 11th of 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.